Welcome to Season 6, The Starry Achievers. This podcast season, as we all are by now aware that it is dedicated to the achievers and the talented people with their new ventures under the umbrella named Startup. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Mr. Dilnawaz Khan from India. You may call him as a startup guru, mentor, guide, you name it. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Hina, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here on the show.
Thank you for your valuable time. And if you could just share what is your startup all about with our listeners.
Sure. So basically, I'm running two companies right now. One of them is a design technology company. So what do we do in that organization? It's called Co-Design Labs. What do we do is we work with startups, small and medium businesses, and in a few cases, enterprises also, where we have created a technology platform, which we give to all these organizations and use it as a plug and play solution to scale their design and marketing teams. So that is one company that I run. This company is taken care of by my co-founder Neha. And the second company I run is called PowerDeck. PowerDeck is something I am really, really passionate about, and I dedicate most of my time into PowerDeck. This is a fundraising and strategic advisory company. In PowerDeck, I work with startup founders. I help them create pitch decks, and I also help them and assist them in raising early seed and angel rounds. So my basically full-time job is to work with founders and help them be funding ready and also assist them in raising capital. That is what I do.
So it's like you lay out the blueprint for the founder?
Not just the blueprint. We go deeper and we handhold a lot. So the journey basically begins from like a general query where people want, kind of send us an inquiry that can you help us with pitch decks or can you help us with fundraising advisory? But then we go deeper, we work with them, we help them with the business strategy, we help them with the go-to-market strategy, we help them with financial model also. We help them by, in crafting a story which will help them to pitch to investors. We help them in making pitch deck, we help them in designing pitch deck. And then we also handhold them and connect them with multiple investors, both through our networks and extended network, through which they can raise funding. So this is typically what we do. So it's more of a long-term handholding and not just a blueprint.
Okay, so it's like, in a nutshell, I would say, a mini, you roll out a mirror for them as to how they can progress forward?
Sure. You can see that.
Sure. And just curious to know, what inspired you to be in this particular field? Did you even imagine when you were young?
So if you ask me what I would have been when I was younger, I had a very, very deep passion towards computers. So I used to play a lot of games, and I always wanted to be an engineer. Unlike most of the engineers who say that their parents pushed them to be an engineer, I always wanted to be an engineer. And I think my journey doing what I do started from my experimentation with computers, writing programs, building softwares, and selling websites. So my first business in 2008 was more like an agency or a consulting company where I used to work with startups. And provide them with technology solutions, build websites, build products. And then that brought me to incubation space. And then in the incubation space, I got exposed to VC and investing space. And then I realized that there's a huge gap, that incubators don't have people who can help founders in creating pitch decks, rather make them pitch ready. So when you talk specifically from the pitching point of view, the areas and core pillars you're looking at, we're looking at a great pitch deck, which founders can use to pitch to investors. We're looking at pitch training, which means founders get confidence and they are ready to go to pitch to investors. And then we're looking at business model and financial model. So incubators typically lack all of these three areas. And I was already, doing a lot of other things. I was supporting founders. So I thought, why not to venture into this? And I started a dedicated company where I was funding ready.
Okay, if you can just explain a little and briefly about what actually is incubation space or
Okay.
you know, as per the business profile?
So sure. So if you look at from the literal meaning of the word incubator, incubator is basically a medical device or a box in which a child is kept when the child is very young or he's premature. That means incubator technically is a life supporting device in the literal medical sense. Now, when it comes to startups, any idea that any person would think of or any business that any entrepreneur would think of starting up, the younger the idea, the earlier the idea, the earlier the stage of the company, the higher the mortality rate of the company would be, which means that because you don't have business knowledge, you don't have right skill set, you don't have right network, you don't have access to right capital, there's a very higher chance that your company will not run or will die because of lack of resources or lack of network or lack of knowledge. So incubators are basically the bodies now both set up by government and even private incubators, where any founder who has an idea or any early stage entrepreneur who's running a business but is in very early stage can take their business to the incubator, and incubation center will support them into multiple areas. So incubation center will help them to ideate on the idea, brainstorm on the idea, draft a business plan, draft a business strategy. Maybe in a few cases also they do multiple programs, like incubators do something called as an accelerator program. So it's a 3 month to 6 month high speed program wherein you can put in your idea and you will run through multiple classroom, online, offline, mentoring, coaching program, and you get a lot of hand holding from mentors so that you can bring your idea to fruition, you can bring your idea to life and make it successful. So the chances of success becomes higher if you go to an incubator, because incubator gives you a complete ecosystem, a complete support to mitigate the risk around that idea, right? So that is what an incubator does. So, I was a part of CII at Ahmedabad, which was the government of India, I would say, or which was supported by DSC back then. And that is how I understood how incubators work and what incubation space is all about.
Thank you so much for this knowledge, because we have been hearing this word, but actually how it is related to the ecosystem that you had just mentioned and shared, this is really a very, helpful, I'm sure, to all the listeners who would like to do a startup or who have stepped right now into this arena. Thank you so much. And for young kids, because entrepreneurship, it's like being everything more digitized. So there are many ideas cropping in. And how would you or what would you suggest or say to the younger generation?
See, I think ideas are basically an outcome of a problem you have spotted, right? So there's a possibility that if you see a problem, your brain will try to find a different solution, a different approach towards solving that problem because of multiple parameters, which includes your skill set, your education, your trait as a human being. So I think ideas are nothing but outcome of a problem I would say ideas that your brain generates when you spot a problem. So if I have to give an advice to younger generation, my advice would be that one, be curious. Second, always spot problems and try and solve the problems. Like that is one trait they need to adapt. And then one, think long term in terms of having patience, because your first idea, your second idea, your first business, your second business, even the third business might not be successful. Every successful entrepreneur they see, even if they would have succeeded in the first business, they fail on a daily basis because they hit and try and don't give up. And then eventually they come up with something that works in their favor. So I think be curious, be open to experimentation, and be patient and always keep on learning. That is, I would say, and eventually they will figure out a way to kind of make that thing work.
That's wonderful, because, this also blends into what you had said, the knowledge, the skill set, the finance, the network, and now adding on to all that concoction is like you need to find out and be curious how to solve a problem which you visualize around yourself. And patience
right,
is the key.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's really nice. And any anecdote you have that is memorable to you or any memory in your journey?
So I have failed more businesses than what I run right now successfully. And I think both in terms of running multiple businesses, doing multiple experimentations, both internally and externally. So I think before I give you one or two examples, I would highly encourage, people to think from the point of view that the education system teaches us that failures are wrong, which is basically not a right thing, because even when you learn how to walk, from learning how to ride a bicycle to even driving a car to that matter, even cooking your own food, right? Anything that you do, there's a absolute rarity, until unless you are like literally a born genius, there's a rarity that you will be able to do that thing in the first attempt successfully. So I think entrepreneurs have to be, and this is the reason I said, have to be super open to learning, super open to fail, and like they have to be really open to kind of use that failure as a learning and then move ahead. And I can give you a couple of examples from my own life. The first business I started, so it was, as I said, it was an IT company, it was a consulting firm. And because I started working with startups, and that opened the door of startup world to me. And then when that business failed, I joined an incubator. When I worked with incubator, I spotted another problem. And today what I do, basically, I am myself a result of at least 10 or 15 failures consecutively. So, and even today in this business, we try new programs, we try new things, we try new services. We definitely fail at a lot of them. And then we eventually improvise and figure out what works in our favor and what can be a business model, because not everything that you're going to launch in the market will work for you, because ultimately the customer has to kind of validate it. Unless customers are not willing to pay for it, it doesn't make sense. So I think I would say that I think, keep on failing, keep on experimenting, and eventually you'll figure out what you want to do.
That's wonderful. Any low moments you had? And if so, how did you cope? After listening to you, like, you had actually multitasked at several occasions, I'm sure.
Please finish up.
No.
Bad, sorry.
Yeah. You were saying something.
Yeah. No, I was just saying that I'll be lying if I say that I never had a low moment in my life. Or maybe every week or every day. I think as a human being, you're very, very susceptible to your external environment. Because we live with people. So, if somebody is having a bad day, it will affect your bad day also. If your employees are not performing well, if they have any problem in the family, I think if your friends are not well, if there's some trouble with the family, I think there are multiple factors and multiple areas that can affect you on a daily basis. And even in general, when I failed my previous company back in 2015, I had a debt of a couple of lakhs of rupees through which I recovered and then started a new company. So right from emotional imbalance to not being in the right mindset to incurring that debt, I think multiple failures and multiple bad and low moments will come in your life. I think and I'm not saying not to have them. It's okay to accept that something wrong is happening with you and be okay to it. Like, I would say this is an entrepreneurial trait. An entrepreneur spots a problem and solves it. So if you are not even acknowledging that anything wrong is happening, how will you solve that? So if you are having a bad mood, maybe take a break, do something that you like, read a book, listen to a great song, go for a walk. These are a few things that I do today, right? If you ask me how I recovered from the debt, I literally went on to door-to-door and started doing freelancing and picking up any work possible that would help me to get the money to recover from this. So I think the biggest trait of an entrepreneur is a solution creator. You have to be open to spot a problem and solve it, and that is what I cannot emphasize enough on. So my suggestion to people who are having a low moment would be either find why it is happening, find a solution that can help you to recover from it, and it can be very personal, it can be anything that excites you. But in the long run, find a goal that you want to accomplish. So for example, if you even go on my LinkedIn and see, I want to impact 10,000 entrepreneurs, I want to work with 10,000 entrepreneurs in my life. I want to impact 1 million freelancers in my life. Now that is a goal that I've created. Now even if I'm able to achieve half of it, or let's say 20, 30, 40% of it, I think the kind of impact I'm going to eventually create will be really, really large. And this impact, this outcome is what drives me on a daily basis. So, again, you might not be able to figure out what you want on day one. I have been doing this from 13, 14 years, and eventually, as I said, I've been jumping from one thing to another, and eventually that led me to figure out where I am and what I want to do eventually in my life. So I think this constant experimentation, constant figuring out what you want to do in life will help you to kind of find that bigger goal that will inspire you on a daily basis to move forward.
That's really inspirational, because we all as human beings, yes, as you had said, we live with people and therefore we have the interaction, and anyone unwell or something not going right for somebody close to us, it does bothers us somewhere. And therefore, it can reflect in our own work. But as you said, to accept and be okay about it and then do something to find a solution for it, if it's consistent or is nagging a person. That's beautifully articulated by you. And it also gives a hope, I'm sure, to people who are struggling that it is okay and we need to explore further and just not stagnate at that point of time. That's
absolutely. In fact, just you I see, a lot of us take struggle in a negative way. But if we think struggle as a part of a journey and treat it a building process of our life and our career, I think we'll start taking it positively. Right from the guy who's pulling the rickshaw on the road, to a student who's not able to clear the exam, to maybe even the billionaire who has got tons of money, I think everybody has their own struggles. And struggle will never get over. No matter what stage you are in, I think my struggles were different 10 years ago. They're very, very different now. And they will be very different from 10 years from now. Right? When I started my first business, the struggle was to hire a right team member. When I could find the right team member, the struggle was to retain them. Now the struggle is to expand the business. So I think it is a constant evolution. And I think I would say, if you don't have struggles in your life, if you don't have things to worry in your life, you should definitely introspect and look back what's wrong with your life. Because I'm sure struggles on a daily basis will tell you that you're growing and you're progressing.
That's beautifully said. And it's a very valid point, especially for those, we come across, they have so much of worries. And they have so much of negative thoughts spiraling in the mind, and they just get sucked up in this vicious circle. So they need to just understand that this is the beautiful aspect of one's life also, to grow.
Absolutely. In fact, if it's okay, I would like to quote this example from this amazing book. I think it's a very light read, but I would recommend. It's not a startup book, although, but it's more of a lifestyle book. The book title is called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And in the beginning, 10, 20 pages only, the author writes that imagine you think of losing weight. So either you don't go to a gym, which means you have a problem that your weight is going to increase, you're not going to look good, you might not have confidence. But the day you start going to gym, you bring in another struggle in life, which means waking up early, going to gym, washing the clothes, making sure your diet is correct. So no matter what you do, you'll always have problems. You'll always have struggles. The life is all about picking the right problems and solving them. No matter what you do, you will have troubles and you will have problems. Your job as a human being is to find the right problems, choose the right problems. And in the startup world, what we say, pick up the right battle. Not every problem is to be solved. Not every battle is to be fought. So you pick and choose the problem you want to solve. You choose your own battles and then only fight them. Don't pick every battle, because not every battle you're going to do is going to give you growth or give you results. Yeah.
Absolutely. And sometimes this is just to add on to what you have said. I usually sometimes tell my clients to rephrase or reframe the word itself and replace it with another, amazing word rather than saying it's a problem. I say these are the sparkles in the journey of your life.
Absolutely. Very well said.
So let it lit your path.
Yep.
And a little about your work now before we just wind up, and then you please share your social media link or email ID if somebody wants to connect with you, because I'm sure people would like to listen to you, learn from you, and take your services also.
Sure.
So first, if you could just talk about what actually, if anyone comes to you, what would you tell them?
So typically, if you ask me how my typical work day looks like,
yeah.
My job is to talk to entrepreneurs day in, day out and solve their problems. That is what I do. Although I spend some time into my first business also that is also a B2B business. So my full-time job is to work with business owners, work with startup founders, assist in solving whatever is required. If you typically ask about PowerDeck, either I do office hours, I do consultations where founders come to me, they have queries, they have questions, and I help them resolve and help them create a way forward. Or I am talking to founders and helping them creating their pitch decks, helping them craft their pitch stories, or I help them in crafting their business models and financial models. So this is my typical work day looks like, and this is what I do on a daily basis.
And do you also engage with students and in their innovation program in any way?
So my engagement with students has only been up to a level where I've been going to multiple colleges to give talks around entrepreneurship, around funding, around ecosystem, and general things. Otherwise, I've done more than like 300 events up till now, where I go talk to them, inspire them, motivate them, at least, and I'm not typically like a motivation speaker, but more as an industry expert or as a professional, where I tell them what is a startup and how can they pursue a career into startups. That has been my engagement. Typically, my professional work otherwise does not include engaging with students, because I think because they're very, very early and because they're not doing it full time. My engagement generally is with full-time entrepreneurs.
Okay.
But if a student wants to get in touch, they can always reach out to me. So I'm pretty much available on all social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Clubhouse. I'm almost there. I'm most active on LinkedIn and Instagram. In fact, Instagram is the best way to reach out to me. So if any of your listeners want to get in touch, I think they have to simply search the Lamaz Khan. They'll find my profile very, very easily. It's the same handle, same URL at all the places. And they can just DM me. I'm more than happy to have a look at the query and support them wherever I can.
Sure. And due to the time constraint right now, I would request all the listeners to visit Mr. Dilnawaz Khan's social media handle, which he has shared. I will be sharing it in the post also. So in case if you have a brilliant idea and you're ready to invest yourself completely into working out and making your dream into reality, do connect with him, because I have personally listened to his videos on YouTube and it is very educative.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. And before we end today's talk, any last words you would like to share with our listeners?
My last words would be, I'm a very, very firm believer of do what you love. This is something I have been saying to people right since when I started my career. Do what you love became very popular in last 5-6 years. But I am a very firm believer. Don't do anything that you don't like, because if you do it, you will anyway be doing it half-heartedly. But by that, I do not mean that if I don't want to wake up till 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, I don't wake up. If I want to just drive on the wrong side of the road, I do that. That does not mean what do what you love is. Do what you love is pick and choose a work, pick and choose a career that makes you happy and that gives you satisfaction, that gives you inspiration on a daily basis from inside, and you're not looking for inspiration and motivation from outside. And you'll not be able to figure it out on day one, as I said before. I think do what you love takes a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of experimentation, a lot of failures, but eventually you will land up and then you will find the work that you enjoy doing, and that is what the purpose of your, if not life, I would at least say professional career, you should be finding the work that you love and then just double down onto it. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And let's say it will help people to introspect themselves as to actually what they love to do. Because as you had just said, there will be a lot of failures, and people in real life, they do fear the failure part. So it's like not fearing, but facing it and taking proper steps to deal with it.
Right.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dilnawaz Khan. It was really a pleasure talking to you and learning from you. It's like, you know, a door has been opened and the opportunities are waiting for everyone, those who want to work on startups.
Sure. It's my pleasure to be here with on this podcast with you. I would highly encourage all of you to subscribe to your podcast, listen to episodes. What you're doing is phenomenal. I loved your objective. I loved the background you bring in and the experience and expertise you bring on the table. So I would highly encourage everybody to follow Hina Ma'am's podcast and give her a thumbs up and give her a shout out on social media platforms. And what she's doing is a great job bringing in speakers. So kudos to you and congratulations for your podcast. I wish you all the success and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your kind words. It means a lot to me because, yes, it's a journey and we learn from each other. Thank you so much. Take care and be safe. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Mr. Dilnawaz Khan from India, founder of Co-Design Labs and PowerDeck, where from his company Co-Design Labs, one can hire on demand digital and tech project management services, and PowerDeck caters to clients need to get awesome pitch decks and corporate presentations designed, starting from his own digital design agency to designing others' vision. By sharing deep business strategies, Mr. Dilnawaz's journey had been with ups and downs. He shared that one will face many failures, but success will only come in phases with sheer determination, patience, and persistence. One should learn how to use failures and make them as stepping stones leading to their future. Thus, not to give up and to be consistent is a real takeaway. Do visit his social media links to know more about his work. He has helped many founders to gain confidence through his incubation assistance and pitch training processes. His vision: to empower 1 million freelancers by 2025 and support 10,000 startups in his lifetime. The journey has begun. We wish Mr. Dilnawaz Khan best of luck for his future endeavors. With that, I end the episode. Hoping to see you all next week with another guest and their story. Till then, take care and be safe. Bye.